Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans, and I'm your weight loss coach, health strategist, and internationally published author, helping take your life and your business, your health, fitness, mindset, and body from where you are right now to where it is that you want to be. And I'm really excited today because I've got a super fabulous guest, Dr. Ivan Meisner, who's been described as the father of modern networking. Dr. Ivan Meisner is the founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, that's Business Networking International. It's the world's largest networking organization. He founded it in 1985. The organization has now over 10,400 chapters throughout every populated continent of the world. And last year alone, it generated more than 11.5 million referrals, resulting in more than $16.2 billion worth of business for its members. Dr. Meisner is a New York Times best-selling author. He's written now over 26 books, including his latest one, which is called Who's in Your Room? He's also a columnist for theentrepreneur.com and has been a university professor as well. As I mentioned, he is called the father of modern networking by both Forbes and CNN, and Dr. Meisner is considered to be one of the world's leading experts on business networking and has been a keynote speaker for major corporations and associations throughout the world. He's been featured in the LA Times, Wall Street Journal, and New York Times, as well as numerous TV and radio shows, including CNN, BBC, The Today Show, and NBC. And also, in his spare time, he's an amateur magician and he's also a black belt in karate. So you are going to get so much value out of today's call. I'm so pleased to introduce Dr. Ivan Meisner. Dr. Ivan Meisner, welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. It's such an honor to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate being on, and please call me Ivan.
Ivan, okay. Thank you, Ivan. So, Ivan, I wanted to ask you, being the founder of BNI back in 1985 and how it's grown. And I was reading out the numbers just before last year you did something like $16.2 billion worth of sales, 11.5 million referrals. Incredible.
Wondering. That's what we call thank you for closed business. That's the amount of business our members generated for each other last year. Trailing past 12 months during COVID, in the past 12 months, as of today, we did $18 billion in thank you for closed business for our members.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Just those numbers. So I'm just wondering, when we go back to 1985 and you think how it's grown now, when you hear those numbers, what does that do for you?
You know, I am just humbled by what BNI has become. It has far exceeded my expectations in terms of the impact that it has on local communities, business people in local communities around the world. Now, I thought, you know, not when I started it, but the year after I started, I thought someday we could have 10,000 chapters, and we hit that last year.
Yes.
But the sheer volume of business that's generated for members is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
So perhaps people that are maybe hearing about BNI for the first time, could you maybe just, because it's quite unique, tell us a little bit about BNI and how it works?
Well, BNI allows one person per profession to join one of the chapters. So there's, you know, one lawyer, one banker, one chiropractor, one real estate agent. Now there, you know, you might have a couple of lawyers in different specialties. You might have a commercial realtor and a residential realtor, but one person per professional category. And we literally get together every week. So we have over 10,500 meetings every week.
Yeah.
Now, up until COVID, it was all in person. Since COVID, we went online, but now we're going back to some in person, some online, and some hybrid meeting in person sometimes and online sometimes. But to over 10,000 groups meeting every week all around the world. And at those meetings, members pass each other referrals.
Yes. Yeah. Nice summary. So one of the things that I've noticed, you know, being in business like 12 years now, you go to a number of different networking events, but the uniqueness of BNI is really quite special. And one of the things that I noticed that makes it different is the accountability.
The accountability, yeah. Yeah, yeah. See, you know, you're absolutely right. And most people don't get this. When I started BNI, I went to some networks that were really mercenary and everyone was trying to sell to me. And, you know, I felt like I'd been slimed and I needed to go home and get a shower. And then I went to these other networks that were all social. It was happy hour and hors d'oeuvres. Yeah. And there was no business being done. The challenge in a network is that friends don't like to hold friends accountable.
Yes.
And so we, you know, we try to tell people, look, you have to have accountability. You know, with hockey without rules would be boxing on ice.
Yeah.
You got to have rules. You got to have systems. Yes. You have to have processes. And the key is to apply those rules and the accountability more like Mandela than Attila. And, yes. You know, groups who get that and do it effectively and hold people accountable with tough love are the ones that are going to be really successful. So accountability is actually one of our seven core values.
So I'm curious because I'm obsessed by success and I like to think about, you know, like the moments that you started BNI and that kind of thing. I'm just curious, how long did it take you to, because I'm sure you didn't get the accountability things right the very first go and said, we need all these things, bang, that's it. So how did you go about identifying what was important and how long did it take you to get it right when you first started?
Well, I mean, overall, I'd like to tell people I'm a 20-year overnight success. You know, it took 20 years to really build an impressive business. And it's now 37 years running BNI. I think the key is culture. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Culture is the secret sauce to a successful organization. So how do you create culture? And I've got a slightly different perspective than what I've ever read anywhere. Here's how I think you create a culture in an organization. It starts with processes that work. You observe processes in your operation that you really got, like, this works. And I need to do more of this and less of that. So you're focusing on the processes that work. Those processes become your traditions. Your traditions are the things that you do that you tell stories about. You know, once we started doing this, this is what happened. And here's how we did it. And your traditions are the storytelling of successful elements. So you go from processes to traditions. Traditions become core values. They become, you know, kind of written in stone because they worked and they, you know, now you might create some core values up front, but over time, those traditions become your core values and the core values lived become your culture.
Yes.
So the core values that you are living as an organization become your culture. So it goes from processes to traditions to core values to culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautifully said. Oh, I think, picking up on the point you said before, you go to those networking groups where it is just social and just no business being done frustrates me from a time perspective when it's your business. I can't get back my time.
Yeah.
So don't waste it by just having a chit chat about the football or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Been there, done that. And you know what? We've had groups that have started and, you know, they attack BNI. We're BNI without the rules. I love those groups. You know why I love them? I've never seen them last past a couple of years.
Yes.
Because BNI without the rules is a coffee clatch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they're a social group and they just don't last. And so you gotta have structure. I mean, you just do, but you do it, you know, in a caring way.
Yeah, you're spot on. And the other great thing there is that you can attend any BNI chapter in the world. I can go from here to over to Texas, where you're based.
Zoom with our online platform, yeah.
Yeah, and I could attend a session there and the format will be the same.
Yes. And you can go to a BNI meeting. I remember the first meeting I went to in a different language was in Swedish and they're all speaking Swedish. And, you know, Swedish is, unless you know it, you have no idea what they're talking about. It's like French, you might pick up a word or two. Spanish, I grew up in Southern California, so I know a little bit of Spanish, but Swedish is, you know, Swedish. And so I'm watching this entire meeting in Swedish. I'm there live in person, and someone leans over to me and says, you have no idea what he's talking about, do you? And I said, no, he's introducing the referral part of the meeting. He's explaining if you have a referral, you give it. If you don't, you give a testimonial. And he goes, wow, you know Swedish? I'm like, no, I wrote the agenda. That's what happens now. And he laughed. He's like, oh my God, that's exactly what they're doing. Like, yeah, I know. That's what happens at this part of the meeting. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, if you look at the highest performing chapters in the world, the one that are doing the most referrals, got the most members, really smoking it, what would you say are the keys that why they work and why others don't work as well?
They follow the system and they have fun.
Mm.
I think it's those two things. I remember doing a training many, many years ago, leadership team training. And there was a really successful chapter, new leadership team at this training, and they were up near the front, and a really horrible chapter that was in the back. And every time I was suggesting something, the chapter in the back, the leadership team was complaining and saying why it didn't work. And it was really frustrating. And at one point, one of the people in the back said, "I got a question, but I don't want you to answer it." I said, "Okay." He said, I want these guys to answer it. They got the biggest, most successful chapter. I said, "Okay, go ahead, ask your question." And he said, "Really, what's the secret? What is the secret to making this work? Because it's not working for us." Yeah. I love this guy. He stood up. The guy stood up and he said, "Oh, yeah, secret? We do this."
Yes.
We follow the system. You're doing everything but, and you're making one excuse after another. Stop. Follow the system. It'll work. Stop complaining. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, if I'd have said that, they'd have tackled me."
Yes.
But because another member said, "Hey, you're whining and complaining, follow the program. The program works." Yes. That's the secret. But you got to do it. You got to do it and have fun. You got to keep the fun in the fundamentals. And when you do that, it's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. I love that. You mentioned about COVID before. How well do you think people adapted to, you know, switching to Zoom, combination of Zoom? We've been locked down for a long time here in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
How well did that go for people? So it's changed.
Well, look, it depends on the person. I can tell you this, overall, BNI has grown. During the two worst years I have ever seen in business, BNI has grown.
Yeah,
and so that tells me that, you know, we're still making a big impact in chapters and local communities around the world. So I think the key is in recognizing that your network, you need your network today more than ever.
Yes.
Groups like BNI, your network is a beacon of hope in a sea of fear. And when you're working with people who know, like, and trust you, and they're there to help you, that you can work your way through challenging times. And I think mindset is so incredibly important.
Yes.
You know, one of the things when COVID hit originally, one of the things I told everybody is stop watching the news and don't obsess over the news.
Yeah, and the numbers.
I mean, look, you know what's going on. So I said, look, I get my news on apps.
Yes.
So I pick and choose. The news, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but in the United States, they shouldn't be called news stations.
Yeah.
They should be called opinion stations.
Yes. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
What you're mostly getting are opinions, not news. And so I said, actually, I didn't say stop watching. I said microdose the news and do apps rather than watch. And because I've seen so many people obsessing over what was going on.
Yes.
And then they put that in their head. You know, what you put in your head comes out in your behavior.
Yeah.
And so mindset is so important. And I think that you got to go into this with the opportunities that exist. And there are opportunities. One of my favorite was in Australia, where they'd shut down everything. The bars were closed down. Yeah. We had a BNI member who was a microbrewery. And he did a one-to-one on Zoom with another BNI member. And the BNI member said to him, "You know, how's it going?" Brewery said, "Man, you know, I've lost all my business." And he said, "Well, you have a lot of alcohol, don't you?" And he said, "I literally have vats of alcohol." He said, "Have you thought about becoming a hand sanitizer business until we're past COVID?" And he's like, "No." And so that's what he did.
Yes.
He pivoted from being a brewery, which was not an essential business, to being a hand sanitizer business. He was able to hire all of his people back.
Yeah.
Physically distance them and make hand sanitizer, which saved his company. And that's what I mean by mindset. Look for the opportunities. Don't just obsess about the problems. If all you do is obsess about problems, you become an expert.
Yes.
At problems. We have to look for solutions.
Yeah. One of the things that I found here, because we were locked down for so long, like over 300 days over the last 18 months. And it's, I just magnified what people have been going through, I think, in their life. If you're doing great, then it got it greater. If you were really struggling, then you really struggled. Yeah. And it's, I've loved COVID. It has provided so many different opportunities for me. This particular podcast that we're speaking on right now was birthed out of COVID when it first started. And I've had a great 2 years as a result of it by looking for those opportunities. I'm wondering, given, I know it's different all over the world, but have you learned anything about yourself through going through COVID the last 18 months?
Well, yeah, that's a loaded question for me personally, because I lost my wife during COVID, not from COVID, but that was the last 2 years have been as difficult for me as anyone. Mm. And I got to tell you, one of the positive aspects of COVID was I traveled so much throughout my career. I have 2.3 million miles on just one airline.
Wow.
And so it was the first time I was married 31 years. It was the first time in my 31 years of marriage where I was home for a year. Normally I was on the road every other week. And so it was an amazing opportunity for me to really connect with my wife of 31 years on a deeper level, and particularly to be there for her as she was dealing with her health issues. So for me, the lesson was relationships are so important, and yes. And COVID actually gave me an opportunity to spend more time with my wife.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's lovely. It's certainly tough. I mean, I've lost everyone close to me. So I know what it's like to go through. But those relationships are just so important. And I think that did come out for me as well during COVID as well. I wanted to ask you, what do you think are the secrets to building those lifetime strong relationships?
Well, one of the things I teach is the concept of the VCP process: visibility, credibility, profitability. And if you don't get this right, nothing you do will work. That's the foundation of all the techniques that I talk about to network effectively. And VCP is this. First, you have to be visible. People have to know who you are.
Yes.
And what you do. Then you move over time from visibility to credibility, where people know who you are, they know what you do, and they learn that you're good at it. And that's the one that really takes a fair amount of time, is to get to credibility. Then once you're at credibility, then you have the opportunity to move from credibility to profitability, where people know who you are, they know what you do, they know you're good at it, and they're willing to refer business to you. This isn't a sales process. This is a referral process.
Yes.
So they're willing to refer business to you because they know, like, and trust you.
Yes.
You've gotten to that credibility, so you're now ready to go to profitability. What tends to happen in most networking situations is people use networking as a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. Hi, my name's Ivan. Let's do business. Here's two copies of my business card. Maybe you can give one to someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are people that they're at a fourth stage that comes before visibility. They're at invisibility, and they're trying to jump over visibility, over credibility, get right to profitability. Mm. And in one of my books, we call that premature solicitation, which you don't want to say fast three times, it'll get you in trouble. You got to work your way through the VCP process. You've got to get to know people where they trust you and are willing to refer you.
Yeah. Yeah, beautifully. So I love that. The I know, like, and trust is so true. And a lot of people, yeah, do want to jump those steps, and it makes it so, it's such a turnoff.
It is, especially if you're networking up. People who are successful really get frustrated when they're constantly pitched at.
Mm. Well, that's a nice segue into my next question. And in terms of networking, because, okay, we're in a room with people. What would your tips be? How do you network better with people?
Well, the first thing that you want to do when you're networking with people is to find out areas of their interest and find overlapping areas of interest or things that you can talk to them about that they're most interested in. And whenever possible, if you're able to add value, this is particularly true in networking up or certainly peer-to-peer, if you're able to add any kind of value to them, then you're networking very effectively. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, great.
I've had an opportunity to go to Necker Island on a number of occasions. That's Richard Branson's private yes. island. I was just there actually about a month ago.
Oh, nice.
And several of the times that I was there, I really wanted to do a video with Richard, but I didn't want to be one of those guys. Hey, Richard, would you do a video with me, please? And so I didn't want to do that, but yet I did want to do a video with him. And so I just, you know, got on Google to find out what he was working on at the moment. And at the time, the first time I did a video with him was on the B team, which is about the business team and how business can be noble and it can do things that government can't, it can do it quicker. And so when I saw my Necker, I said, tell me about the B team. It sounds really interesting. And he just lit up. He was very excited. And I said to him, how can I help you in promoting that? And he said, well, I don't know. You run this network, you know, tell your network about it. I said, okay, great. Would it be of any benefit to you to do a video where you talk about the B team? And I'll get that out to my membership and
nice.
To the public. And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. Let's do it. And so if you go back, you'll see two videos that I did with Richard over the last several years in my visiting there, where I just asked him, how can I help you? What can I do? And so he wanted to do these, which also helped me. So I helped him and helped me. And that's what you want to do is you want to find yes. ways to add value to the other person.
So
if you can do it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fantastic example. Well done too. That's really great. Let's say that it's not somebody as high as Richard Branson. You're in the room and you haven't had the chance to, you know, pull out the Google machine and do that. Does that mean you become, you want to become just like the master of asking questions to try and get yeah. to understand what that person's needs are?
Yeah, it's very important that you ask questions. A good networker has two ears and one mouth and should use them both proportionally.
Yes.
A good networker is like a good interviewer. You're asking me questions and you're letting me elaborate.
Yes.
That's what a good networker is. A good networker asks people questions and they allow people to elaborate. And so what you want to do is ask questions and sort of drill down to find areas that they get really excited about and areas that you think you might be able to help in some small way or big way. And then take that opportunity to talk to them about how you might be able to help. And I don't mean I can sell you something that will help you. That's not what I'm talking about here.
Yes.
I'm talking about truly adding value, not trying to sell to someone. That's what givers gain. Our principal core value in BNI is givers gain.
Yes.
And giver's gain to me is more than a phrase. It's a way of living one's life. It's a perspective to view and interact with the world. It's an attitude, not an expectation.
Yes.
And when it's applied properly, it'll change your life. And when it changes enough lives, it'll change the world.
Yeah, yeah, that's really well said. One of the things that I approach relationships with is like I'm looking for a relationship for life. You know, if I want to do business with somebody, it's like this is a lifetime relationship. So I'm not going to try and shortcut things and say,
right.
Okay, well, if I want to do business with you, Ivan, say, okay, well, by the end of this call, I've got to have you sign a contract. It's like, well, no, we've got to say, okay, this is going to take a long period of time and you've got to do the right thing. And not just look for the fast dollar. You're looking for the long-term relationship. And that normally means you've got to sacrifice a bit up front if you want to have a long-term relationship with someone that's more successful than
right.
you. You're
right on the money. Networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. It's about cultivating relationships with people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Ivan, one of the areas where I've found that I've personally grown the most is through my failures. And I don't mind saying that out loud because we've all had them. But the growth on the other side of failure has just been phenomenal. And there's probably been five big life change events for me where that has occurred. I'm just wondering, has there been something that you know, you're prepared to talk about that you would say has been, yeah, this has been a big failure and what I learned from that?
Yeah, look, I think I like to define myself by my successes, not my failures. I think my failures are my tuition
yes.
that I pay to achieve success. And let me tell you, I paid a lot of tuition. I've made lots of mistakes throughout my career. And I'm working on a book right now called The Third Paradigm. And the story that is threaded throughout the entire book is an example of one of my biggest failures.
Okay.
That became one of my biggest successes. But at one point, it was absolutely my biggest failure. And had I stopped at that point, it would have been ugly, very ugly. And I think the key is to recognize when you've failed at something and to figure out what do you want to do with it. Maybe sometimes it's time to walk away.
Yes.
For me, it wasn't time to walk away, but it was time to reinvent the project. And the book I'm writing is called The Third Paradigm, and it's about co-creation. And I reinvented it by co-creating a different version of, in co-creation, it's about people getting together and actually creating as a group.
Yes.
The thing that you're trying to achieve. And so look for the book. It should be out next year. It's called The Third Paradigm.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, fantastic. Final question. Well, actually, I've got two more questions, but this one, you mentioned Richard Branson there before. Who is on your like wish list of your like of people that you would like to either connect with, do business with?
You know, that's a great question. I don't have a list of people that I necessarily want to meet. I mean, there were a handful of people that I really wanted to meet. Nelson Mandela, I really, really would have loved to have met during his lifetime. There's not a lot of people that are on my list of people that I really want to meet, but I like to meet people who are not necessarily really well-known, but who are really successful. I just did a trip to Antarctica. I mean, I literally got back 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And on the ship were three billionaires.
Yes.
And if I told you who they were, you'd have no idea who they are.
Yes.
I mean, they're unknown, but they were really, really interesting people with amazing stories who started incredible companies. And two of them started with nothing. I mean, nothing. And built billion-dollar enterprises. Yeah, and so I want to meet people like that, people that may not be known by most people, but have amazing stories.
Yes. Yeah, I love that too. It's just, I've been obsessed with success for so long now that, yeah, it's just, you hang off every person's word when you know that they're successful and you just want to know, okay, so how did you do it? And especially when they've built it from nothing. Yeah. I think that's really magnificent.
And the amazing thing about this Antarctic expedition, most people had no idea sitting at their table was a billionaire.
And that's great.
Because with all three of them, their ego did not enter the room before they did. And so they were, you know, kind of low key. They definitely had strong opinions, but they didn't tell anybody, you know, how successful they were. That's why I like Google. I figured it out. I love meeting people like that.
Yeah, wonderful. Ivan, my last question for you is, if people are listening and you've now just tickled their fancy around BNI and how powerful it is, what's the best way for people to see how they can engage with a chapter nearby them?
Yeah, BNI.com. Go to BNI.com and do a search on a chapter. And right now, most of our chapters are still meeting online. Some are moving to hybrid. Some are even meeting in person. It kind of depends on what country and what the COVID rate is, but you can go to an online chapter if you'd like. And we have, I think, 600 chapters that started online, have never met in person.
Yeah, wow.
And they may never go to meet in person. So BNI.com, there's a search function where you can put in information and find out. And also I have a blog, IvanMeisner.com, just information, I write about networking and I write about business, a lot of content. I've been doing two blogs a year since 2007. I mean, two blogs a week since 2007. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of blogs.
And 26 books and the 27th one on the way.
Yeah, 26. And actually I'm working on two more, including that one. So yeah.
What's your turnaround time for a book? How long does it take you to
really varies.
Write it?
My goal is to do about a book a year, roughly a book every year and a few months. But one book might take 4 years. I think the longest it took me to do a book was 4.5 years. Other books I can do in 6 months to a year.
Yeah,
depends fantastic. Depends on the content and my co-authors.
Yeah, fantastic. Ivan, it's been fantastic and an honor to have you on the show today. I didn't mention this at the start before we pressed record, but it was years ago. It was probably, maybe 7 years ago, one of my chapter events, we connected with you. And I stood up and I got an opportunity to ask you a question back then. And from that moment, I thought, I'd love to do an interview with you one day. So we've just done that. So
anytime, my friend. I've got more books coming out. So if you want me to talk about some of the books that are coming out.
I'll have my eye out on this latest one coming up. It sounds really great. Love to read all about it. Thank you so much for your time today. I'd love to come and sit by your fireplace and read books with you.
Fantastic, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Thanks.